Eastern, where else in this connection in the upper two arrows green forest. In both instances, as I mentioned last day, Wednesday, you have the instrumentality of the word. And therefore, the thought is that the consciousness of the personal concern is intelligently and receptively and savingly engaged with the word in that which is expressed by Apple to Echo in James 1:18 and by Anakin Apple in 1 Peter 1:23. So regeneration in these instances is represented as through the mediacy of the Word, and the mediacy of the Word, therefore, as engaging our consciousness savingly and intelligently. A concept of regeneration which is not the same as that which we find in the teaching of our Lord and in the teaching of John himself. How are we to resolve this discrepancy? Well, the solution must be that regeneration is used in two distinct senses. Closely related senses, of course, but in two distinct senses. First, in the more restricted sense, which is certainly the more preponderant in the scripture. And also in the more inclusive sense, which is, however, more exceptional. And occurs expressly only in these two passages, James 1:18, 1 Peter 1:23. And when used in this more inclusive sense, it includes the activity of our consciousness in saving response. And in that inclusive sense, regeneration is practically synonymous with conversion, at least what we call conversion. Now this double usage of the language of regeneration, this double usage of this double connotation, should not surprise us at all. Should not surprise us. Reason that regeneration in the restricted sense you find John 1:13, John 3:3-8, 1 John 2:29, must never be conceived of outside of its context, outside of its context. Regeneration in the restricted sense has no meaning or relevance the truth of the gospel address to and engaging our consciousness.
Now that in the restricted sense has no meaning of relevance apart from the truth of the gospel addressed to and engaging our consciousness. We must remember that regeneration takes place in connection with the actual call. And the effectual call comes to us through the word of the gospel. As I said earlier, regeneration is brought to us in the bosom of the effectual call. And it is that subjective, what that subjective act of the Holy Spirit wrought in us in order that we may yield to the effectual call, the appropriate response. The appropriate response. And furthermore, regeneration always pushes itself into consciousness in the responses of faith and repentance. As we found in our study of 1 John 5:1, particularly 1 John 5:4, 1 John 5:1-4, faith is the invariable concomitant of regeneration. The invariable concomitant. And faith is always in response to the word of truth, the gospel. Regeneration in the more restricted sense has no meaning except as it is concomitant with those other aspects of the Ordo Salutis. Yes, Rishama. Regeneration in the restricted sense has no relevance except as it is concomitant with these other aspects of the order saluted. Actual calling, faith, repentance. Now in view of that, it's perfectly natural, perfectly natural. For biblical writers on occasion to take that broader context into account and bring it within the very purview of regeneration, or bring it within the very context of regeneration. And that is what we find in James 1:18 and Ephesians and the 1 Peter 1:10. Well, that's my attempt at solution of this appearance of grammar. Very important there, that context in mind in every respect. Somebody
for the human world.
That is some way.
Yes. But what, you see, I think this is the answer to the question, that it's always in the context of the gospel. That is generation. You cannot take it as a factor. Of course, I'm thinking now of those who are adults who are able to exercise faith in the sense of the
we'll deal with infants later on. As far as adults are concerned, and most of course, some very, very young people. Some children are 5 years old as adults, as far as this is concerned, as far as intelligence is concerned, intelligent exercise of faith. Sometimes more intelligent in that regard than 25-year-old. I'm talking now about those who are capable of intelligent exercise. As far as we are concerned, regeneration is never to be outside of the context of the preaching of the gospel of God. See, his effectual calling is the first step in the order of solution, so we try to demonstrate that. Never change. That just proves the very point. Regeneration is something that takes in a certain context. And that context has no meaning at all. Part. What regeneration in the strictly sense takes into account is that which is necessary, absolutely necessary, in God's effectual operation, in order that the word of the truth of the gospel may be faithfully responded to. Now I come to certain corollaries of this thesis that regeneration is causally prior to all being given. Causally prior to almost being responsible enough. Just call it the corollary of the causal priority of regeneration. Causal priority of regeneration does not mean that a regenerate person can live in sin and be unconverted. That is the paradox.
Which this
stuff. Too big for the subjective.
No excuse for unbelief in the world of life or indifference. For people to argue that we should not repent and believe until we are regenerated. We shouldn't repent and believe until we are regenerated is to introduce confusion into the religion. That regenerations are stains to our responsibility. We never know that we are regenerated until we repent and believe. We have no esoteric way of discovering that we have been rejected. Human thought in this matter, faith in this matter always works upstream, never does. The gospel of God's grace addresses itself to our responsibility in the demand for repentance and faith. It doesn't address itself to our responsibility in the demand for regeneration. But in the demand for that which regeneration produces, just as the unknown purposes of God are not the rule of our conduct, nor the grounds upon which we act, so the inscrutable operations of God in our hearts are not the rule or the ground of our action. See, the inscrutable operations of God in our hearts are not the rule or the ground of our action, but the revealed will of God. And so our belief or our knowledge that we have been regenerated is never the ground upon which we exercise faith, that is, the primary act. That regeneration is always the source of which first acts of faith and repentance proceed. Instead of the ground or the root of our faith. And third, regeneration as the agency just to meet an objection. The priority of regeneration doesn't violate our free agency, our natural liberty. Man in inalienably possesses his natural liberty. As we sometimes call the idiot. But because he's not able to exercise that natural liberty in service of God. And he is unable to release his free agency from the bondage to which he is. He's unable to release it from that bondage. Regeneration simply means the interposition of supernatural grace to ensure the release of that free agency or natural liberty. To ensure the release of that free agency to the end that it may now be exercised. Violation of our free agency when it is in reality the interposition of God to do for us what we are totally unable to do for ourselves and do for us in the world great.
Recognizing that it is not a
only possible, but actual in many cases. How are we to relate all that has been said respecting regeneration to the present? Especially when we take into account the context in which regeneration takes place. The context of calling, response, reason. Now, in the nature of the case, the little is. I'm not talking about 3-year-olds or 4-year-olds or 5-year-olds, little infants, infants, old, say, is incapable of that conscious and intelligent activity in terms of which we define faith. Define faith in these terms. But because it has all these implications according to Scripture, believing that Jesus is the Christ, believing in Jesus as the Savior. Commitment and to him as Lord, entrustment to him as Redeemer, the qualities of faith. They imply some measure of intelligent understanding. And that measure of understanding cannot be predicated of the little infant, simply because the little infant is psychologically incapable. Psychologically incapable. And so they are incapable, as our confession is, incapable or incapable of being teleported to all by the ministry of the word. Regeneration takes place in infancy. We must not think of it as taking place in abstraction. But when regeneration takes place in infancy, not think of it as taking place in abstraction. For that little infant, by being regenerated, is introduced into the kingdom of God. Consequently, he's translated from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. That is implicit in what Jesus said of little infants. Of such is the kingdom of God. And we cannot think of that little infant except as a child of God. In the proper sense, it's a pretty good thing to adopt his personality. That is a child of God. We cannot think of that little infant as being any longer under the condemnation of sin.
Let me see. It's membership in the kingdom of God. By justification. And adoption into the family of God.
And although we likewise define effectual calling,
terms that are suited to adoption,
must likewise be conceived of as called into the fellowship of Christ. Just as surely as this infant is a member of the kingdom of God, is justified by God's grace, adopted into the family of God, he is ushered into the fellowship of the Redeemer for the simple reason that you cannot conceive of these other aspects as separate from union with Christ.
Consequently, when we keep in view that whole context
in which regeneration becomes a fact in the case of the little infant, we are bound to say that in this instance there is implanted what is the germ. Memories that go back to
than 5 months.
A year and 6 months, perhaps a little more. We're talking about that now. A year and 6 months, sure. Talking about the little infant that's under a year.
But this we must say, that this regeneration, together with the total context in which regeneration takes place, of calling, justification, adoption, we must say that it affects the rudimentary consciousness of the little infant. The scripture brings the indictment against infants, little infants, in terms of depravity. For example, they go astray from the womb, speaking lies. Now, on the other side, we must say that the regenerated does not go astray in that sense. The regenerate infant is no longer a child of law, but a child of God. And therefore develops in the nurture of the Lord through the sense. I mean, in the nurture which the Lord himself imparts, develops in the nurture of the Lord. Infant to become explicitly conscious of that relationship which had been constituted in infancy by the grace of God, of such an infant as regenerated in infancy and converted when it comes to the years of understanding. Must. That little infant is regenerated, is also converted in the sense that there occurs in that little infant something which in the rudimentary sphere corresponds to conversion. That little infant becomes the habitation of God through the Spirit. And that little infant develops under the sanctifying influence of this indwelling, controlling, and directing Holy Spirit.
And
must go back again to John 3:6. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit.
That's true in every way.
That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That is, a human being indwelt, controlled, and directed by the Holy Spirit. Consequently, that little infant was born to that. An expanding experience and increasing knowledge. That is consistent with and corroborative of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. No, no doubt that. Some persons regenerated in infancy. Past the experience. Perhaps in adolescence, perhaps earlier, perhaps later. Pass through experiences that to their understanding resemble conversion. And they may think themselves that it was then that they were converted, and therefore regenerated. Have any memory
hinder this
meditation. Now you see, I'm not saying
that this regeneration in this conceit takes care outside of the ministry of the gospel. I don't think we have anyone from Scripture who believe that this regenerating activity of the Holy Spirit takes place outside of what we generally call the means of grace. Of redemptive revelation. I don't think we have any warrant to put it outside that. We are not limiting God. He will explain the way and how he pleases. But as far as our knowledge is concerned, as far as the revelatory data furnished to us are concerned, we have no right to think that this regeneration has taken place outside of the context that I have been insisting upon.